our neighbors in poverty. You may rightfully wonder why I, a person who obviously has enough to eat, a home, a car, more than one warm coat, might be standing here to speak with you about our neighbors in poverty. It's possible that there's several valid reasons why I'm standing here, but likely there's a reason that you'll understand the best, and that's because you know our pastor, Father Ben. He asked, and it's nearly impossible to say no to Father Ben, so I'll do my best. I'd like to begin by saying there's many kinds of poverty, such as poor in spirit, and we could have hours of meaningful conversation about the realms of poverty. But tonight I'd like us to consider poverty brought on by financial difficulties, lack of food, clothing, housing, those situations which are brought to our attention in Matthew 25. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. As you know, poverty is universal, it is global, and it is close to home. It is regarding these at-home neighbors that I'll talk with you tonight. I can speak to you most earnestly from my own heart, from my experience. I believe that I possibly received a little gift from the Holy Spirit at baptism, which I call noticing. It's not one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I think it's probably related to understanding. Since I was a little kid in my Hibbing neighborhood, I seem to have been given a signal to pay attention to those in my midst who are in need, to remember that each of us is vitally connected to the other. I told Father Ben that even before I knew there was a set of principles in the Catholic Church called Catholic social teaching, even before I knew the corporal works of mercy, I, like you, knew that we were called to notice others through the simple yet challenging commandment, love your neighbor. This is what our 40 hours of devotion have been about and our 40 days of Lent, and it is my experience these three powerful words, love your neighbor, resonate deeply in this parish. Besides being my home of prayer for 43 years, I also had the honor of working in the parish for 40 years. I love the phrase in Hebrews 12:1, cloud of witnesses, because that is truly what I came to feel here in these walls. I believe this cloud of witnesses is present from the Benedictine sisters who lived and worked here, those generous, compassionate women who laid the groundwork for us always to welcome the stranger. I believe this cloud of witness permeates our parish through the oblates of Mary Immaculate, whose logo, Preach the Gospel of Christ to the Poor, is found on the stained glass window now above the doorway to the Adoration Chapel, which used to grace the entrance to our church. I believe this cloud of witnesses envelops us from the diocesan priests who have served us with kindness and devotion and a sense of humor. And since the inception of St. Thomas Aquinas Parish, I feel that pulsing cloud of witnesses in the remarkable lay people who sit in our pews and serve in our ministries. What does this presence of a cloud of witnesses and the gentle yet persistent message to love our neighbor feel like? And how has this been leading and guiding us here at St. Thomas Aquinas? This is my perspective. Through my position in pastoral care, I was honored and humbled to meet persons seeking assistance. This may have been in response to the back doorbell ringing at our office with someone requesting something to eat. It may have been a person or a family in need of clothing, a winter coat, a pair of shoes, some children's clothes. These were not surprising requests to me, as by the time I did pastoral care at St. Thomas, I had been a teacher at our school for a little over 20 years. While I was a teacher, it was a regular occurrence to see a couple of persons buzzing the doorbell at the back door of what was then the rectory, and then in a few minutes receiving a sandwich and coffee. It was also common to see a long line of persons in search of clothing queued up on Mondays outside the basement door of the old Aquinas house at Catholic Charities Clothing. I believe we may feel proud and grateful as a parish that those who came to St. Thomas for assistance were greeted cordially, treated with respect, and helped as best we were able. This is as true now in 2017 as it was in the 1970s, and I don't doubt as it was in the early days of our parish. What did surprise me when I assumed Sister Ingrid's former job of pastoral care was the number of persons who came to seek shelter. This was truly my first face-to-face experience with this form of poverty in our small town. After several persons seeking shelter found their way to my office, I asked one man if he would tell me what led him to us. He said he saw the steeple and found his way to our door. Just think, our beautiful church steeple, which stands tall and proud for many blocks, maybe even miles, as inspiring architecture, drew in a person seeking shelter. Isn't that just what Jesus had in mind in his particular concern for the poor? And living up to the promise of Jesus' love, as our steeple suggests, as a parish, respond we did with food and clothing and shelter, and we still do. St. Thomas has been a prayerful companion and at the ground level of financial support for projects such as the Community Clothes Closet, the Community Cafe, and Servants of Shelter. We have always made food shelf donation a priority, as in our recent Lenten fish fries, and have a dedicated team of volunteers who work at the closet and the Community Cafe. In each of these endeavors, those who volunteer their time make the ultimate connection of being neighbor. They establish relationship. When we know the face of another, and if that face is of someone who is sometimes or often in need, we become, as Jesus invites us, brothers and sisters in his name. We're not helping those people, nor are we giving away our wealth. We're sharing wealth God intended for each of his children. We're not looking at our neighbors as separate from ourselves. We are walking beside them as one. And when that happens, we are community. We are family. When one volunteers at the clothes closet, conversations occur and new connections are made. I cannot tell you how many persons who visited the clothes closet while I was working in the parish office became, if not friends, then pretty special acquaintances. They stopped in often to let us know how things were going, how their jobs or job searches were unfolding, if they had secured housing, and how they were doing with their children. I'm not indicating that everyone who goes to the clothes closet is in some type of crisis, indeed not, because persons from every dimension of our economic scale shop and drop off clothes at the clothes closet. It's a heterogeneous place, a little slice of this small town. But it is true that those who may need assistance of one kind can make a friend while picking out clothes or household goods. And that friend may help a person in need make a step forward to a more secure place in their life. I remember many examples of this at St. Thomas' office, but one that stands out is a very quiet, physically fragile woman who stopped for clothes, who sometimes needed help with food, who often just sat and had a cup of coffee. One day she came in and told me she'd like me to come with her to meet her boyfriend, to help him know that there are people who could help him as they had helped her. She said, "I want you to meet him because I trust you." I had received a gift. We had developed a relationship. Her friend could get to know us at St. Thomas. None of this would have been possible without the existence of a place where someone might come just for food or clothing or a cup of coffee. As is evident, there is so much more in any project of service than simply the product made available. Every Tuesday and Thursday at 5:30, there's a free meal right across the street at Bacchus in a bright and friendly dining room, which for those hours every week is called the Community Cafe. Our very own Rick DeBenedict is the chef. And this parish, like other organizations in town, takes nights each month volunteering there. There's a good problem about being a volunteer from our parish at the Community Cafe. There's so many volunteers from St. Thomas that your turn rarely comes up. I know this as a fact from my own experience. The Community Cafe is a warm and inviting place. One of my favorite things about it is that everyone is invited and does indeed share meals together. It's not a lineup of those poor people coming to receive a free meal on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's folks from the neighborhood. It is persons who usually eat alone and now have someone to sit beside, to talk to. It's busy families bustling between activities and commitments. The Community Cafe is a big, ever-changing family sharing a room and conversation and being neighbors in just the way Jesus did. From the steady need of persons seeking shelter, I became interested in a group that began in 2009, and with the blessing of Father Mitch, continued to attend their meetings. This was a task force later named Servants of Shelter, which we are still called, or SOS. We met to find a way to assist homeless persons to offer them a step forward. I still see homelessness as the most invisible dimension of poverty in our community. It might help you to know three facts about being homeless in Couchiching County. The first, homelessness is defined as those who don't have a permanent residence or address, those who couch hop from one willing friend to another, who sleep in their car, who find an empty fish house in the winter, or make their home in a Kutaska tent all summer. Secondly, on January 26th, there's a survey called Point in Time Survey, one night all over Minnesota, where homeless persons are counted in various areas. This year on January 26th, there were 68 homeless persons in Couchiching County, most of them right here in International Falls. Another fact is in 2016, SOS provided over 600 stays to area residents. And this year, since January, we have provided 265 stays to those who are in need of housing. Through the support of churches like St. Thomas, community organizations, private donations, and grant funding, SOS has grown since 2009 from a rotating overnight shelter in churches and community buildings to an apartment for individuals and families, which is our current status. We house our overflow guests in hotels for one or two nights. This parish has always been generous in helping us assist with the overnight hotel stays. Our long-term goal has always been to have our own building in which more than one family or unrelated individuals may reside. While we are excited to be closer than ever to achieving that goal, it's not exciting that there are so many persons in need of assistance. As with others that we are called to notice, those who are in need of shelter look just like we do, not ragged, shuffling caricatures we may have in our imaginations. All are our neighbors, and we keep each in our prayers. The food shelf, the Community Cafe, Servants of Shelter are all projects funded and thriving through prayer, donation, grants, and fundraising. As you know, these little boxes that Father Ben pesters us about during Lent from the Catholic Relief Services, the little rice bowl boxes, are sources of funding for local organizations. Rice Bowl provides funding for our global neighbors and also for our neighbors right here in International Falls. Sometimes what is asked of us is a monetary donation, such as the Rice Bowl, or sometimes it's simply a person reaching out their hand. Father Michael touched on this struggle of this yesterday when he gave us his talk. It is our wonder if sometimes when we give somebody money, is it helping them or is it going to be squandered? I recently reread some comments by Pope Francis at the beginning of this Lenten season. He spoke to a reporter in a Milanese magazine which addresses the needs of the homeless and the marginalized. Our Holy Father said, "In the shoes of the other, we learn to have a great respect for those who need our understanding. We get to know their difficult situations." He continued to speak regarding to those to whom we might give money. But what if someone uses that money, say, for a glass of wine? Pope Francis said, "If a glass of wine is the only happiness he has in life, that's okay." The Holy Father suggested instead, ask yourself, what happiness do you seek? What do you do? He said simply, give them the money and don't worry about it. Pope Francis said that giving something to someone in need is always right. Another way to look at it, he added, is to recognize how you are the luckier one, and then ask why the responsibility to help our neighbor should be pushed on to someone else to do the good. Why, indeed. And giving comes back to us. I have an example. There was a woman who would come into our office often for a grocery voucher. She was really quiet. She would sit a little while and often like to say a prayer. She was so exceedingly grateful for the little help we gave her. One day she came in and I asked if she needed some help with a food purchase. She said no and almost shyly took out a $5 bill to give to me. She said, "I want to give this back to help someone else." $5. I said something to the effect of how thoughtful that was of her, but that she probably needed the money and should keep it for a time when she might be struggling. She insisted I take it, and luckily, quick nudge of the Holy Spirit, I realized that her giving the gift gave her dignity and filled her with the same warm feeling we felt in helping her. I'm pretty sure I brushed tears away as I gratefully accepted her gift and we said a little prayer together. I had experienced one of those epiphany moments God grants us to keep noticing the people in front of me and how we are alike in our desire to be neighbor to one another. As I close, I'd like to share a reminder from the life of the great Catholic champion of the poor, Dorothy Day, through the paraphrased words of author Jim Forrest in his book, All is Grace, a biography of Dorothy Day. A day never passed without Dorothy speaking the words of mercy, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, giving shelter to the homeless. She helped us understand that there is not only hunger for food, but also hunger for faith, for a place at the table, and also for a real welcome, not only for assistance, but also for listening, not only for kind words, but also for truthful words. There is not only hospitality of the door, but hospitality of the face and heart. May we at St. Thomas keep our doors open. May our ears be listening. May our words be kind and true. May we be persons not only of hospitality of the door, but hospitality of the heart. May these 40 hours and our 40-day Lenten journey renew us and allow us to truly see our neighbor and reach out our hand. May we be brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. May we love our neighbors. Thank you.